Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, so devotees, last night we began our seminar on Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and we basically just explained the history, the background of it, how it came to be, the different people that were involved in it, first of all in it being spoken by Parikshit to Uttara, then how it was recorded. Yeah. So, now we're going to go actually directly into the book itself. We're going to start by reading the first 11 verses. The name of this chapter is, the name of the whole section, there's part one and part two. I'm sure you remember we talked about that. Each part has seven chapters. So this part one is called in Sanskrit, Sri Bhagavat Kripa Sara Nidhara. Finding the essence of the Supreme Lord's mercy. Yeah. Finding the essence of the Supreme Lord's mercy. Finding the essence, or finding who has the most mercy? Who's got the greatest mercy from the Lord? And so chapter one, the title of chapter one is Boma, in Sanskrit means on the earth. So from verse 1 to verse 11, it's a Mangala Charana. We explained last night what's a Mangala Charana. I'll just mention again. Mangala means auspicious. And Charana, of course, means feet, or like lotus feet, we would normally say. So, Mangala Charana then means the auspicious lotus feet of the book. Yes. That which the book is based on. The foundation. Because if your feet aren't working, you're not going to be able to stand up. So yes, Mangala Charana. The auspicious lotus feet of the book is one way of putting it. But basically the idea generally is that the Mangala Charana means where some blessings are recited and some blissfulness about how wonderful is this book. So let's just begin. Before I read any verses, I want to read a little passage. It's actually from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela chapter 1, verse 22. And what it is, it's a verse by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author, in which he explains what is the purpose of a Mangala Charana. What does it consist of? That sort of idea. So, yeah, it's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 1, verse 22, as I said. And here it is. Sri Mangala Charana Haya trivida prakara vastu nirdesh asher vada namaskara. The Mangalacharana involves three processes: defining the objective, offering benedictions, and offering obeisances. That's a definition of what is a Mangalacharana, what's it for, what it consists of, from great authority Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's the first 11 verses, as I said, and that's what we're going to go through tonight, these 11 verses. First of all, just as we were doing, if you remember, in Bhagavad Gita, mainly perhaps in Bhagavad Gita, you get all these little sections. You have a chapter, but in a chapter there's, you know, five or six, and sometimes more, sections where there's a particular focus, some particular subject matter is focused on. So what we were doing there, before we tried to explain the different verses in the section, we would just read the verses that make up the section so that everyone understands what is this group of verses which have been, we're grouping them together as sort of like a unit together. What is their message? What are they all about? So I'm going to do this here also. I'm going to read just the first 10 verses. All glories to that inconceivable Lord. This is verse 1. All glories to that inconceivable Lord who descended to bestow the gift of perfect love for his own lotus feet. He is an ocean filled with many kinds of sweetness, and he always bears the fragrance of fresh youth. In his form as Sri Chaitanya, he has realized the last extreme of transcendental experience, the love residing in eternally in the gopis. That's the first verse of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. What a magnificent, beautiful verse. So let's keep on reading though. So that was about Krishna and Krishna as Lord Chaitanya, both. Verse 2. All glories above all to the gopis headed by Sri Radhika, who are famous as the most dear devotees of the Lord. No one can even begin to properly describe the charm of their supreme affection for Sri Hari. Verse 3. Realizing that the ecstasy of his beloved devotees is even sweeter than his own, out of greed, the Lord descended to this world in the form of his own devotee. Dressed as a renunciate, golden in effulgence, he bears the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. All glories to that Lord Hari, who has appeared as the son of Mother Sachi. Verse 4. All glories to Goddess Mathura Devi, the best of holy cities. She attracts the mind. She is most dear to the enemy of Kamsa, and she is adorned with the Lord's birthplace. Mathura is acclaimed throughout the world for dispelling misery and bestowing liberation and devotion. And that is without mentioning the various pastimes the Lord has played there. Number five, all glories to this place where we are living, Lord Murari's Vrindavan Forest. He prefers residing here to residing in Vaikuntha or in the huts of elevated saints. In Vrindavan, while always tending his cows, he gives pleasure to the gopis, whose love for him in the mood of the rasa dance he increases by sweetly playing his flute. And verse 6. All glories to Sri Yamuna, the daughter of the sun god and sister of Yamaraj. She is beloved to Krishna, the killer of Mura. She has made friends with Mathura district and has exceeded the greatness of Ganga Devi. On the pretext of being a river, she carries the nectar flowing from Lord Sri Krishna's lotus feet. 7. All glories to Govardhan, the emperor of lordly mountains. The Lord's dear gopis called him the best of Hari's servants. Krishna personally disrupted Indra's sacrifice to worship Govardhan instead. And then the hill resided for a week on the Lord's lotus palm. 8. All glories to Sri Krishna Prema Bhakti. Knowing that the feet of Prema Bhakti secretly comprise all the truths of the Vedas, Liberation herself has come to worship her. Liberation, abandoned by the Vaishnavas, is eager to have the shelter of Prema Bhakti. Now, Liberation has given up her dependence on mantras, penance, sacrifice, and renunciation. 9. All glories to Lord Murari in the form of his all-ecstatic name. If any living being puts aside such tasks as meditation, ritual worship, and social duties, and even once takes the Lord's holy name, the name will grant him liberation. That holy name is the greatest source of eternal pleasure and is my only livelihood and ornament. 10. I bow down to Sri Krishna Chandra, the reservoir of unconditional mercy. In this modern age, he has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to distribute the taste of pure love. And verse 11 is, well, it's also part of the Mangalacharana. This book collects the essence of the scriptures teaching devotional service rendered to the Supreme Lord. These essential teachings I've personally realized under the shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I received them from his dear devotee, Sri Rupa. Hare Krishna. Well, there you go, devotees. Those are the first 11 verses of the book. Glorifying, appreciating, offering blessings like that. You know, there's not so much offering blessings directly, benedictions. There's defining the objective is there. Offering obeisances is definitely there a lot. There's a little bit of offering blessings, but not so much. Okay, anyway. So, just to recap, those verses. Let's just make a brief comment on each and then we'll go a little more into depth for the rest of the program this evening. So first one is glorification of Lord Krishna and a glorification of the Lord as Lord Chaitanya. So you can say it's glorification of both Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Glorification. And in doing that, he's defining the objective. The objective is Krishna. And the objective, well, the objective is Krishna, that's a fact. But Krishna is attained through devotional service. So Krishna is the objective. And the way to achieve Krishna is devotional service. So the second verse, first verse then, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, glorification, they're the objectives. Second verse is the gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani. And they, well, they're also part of the objective. We should try to attain, to approach, get the mercy of and take shelter of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. We should do that. And they are just so special. They're just so special that Sanan Goswami says no one can even begin to properly describe their love for the Lord. Oh, what can you say? That's deep, isn't it? No one can even begin to properly describe their love for the Lord. All right. Then, the third verse. Now, this is interesting. Again, in verse 3, it's a definition of the objective, and it's also offering obeisances to Lord Chaitanya very specifically, because Lord Chaitanya understood that the nectar of devotional service is even better than the nectar of receiving that devotional service, of having devotees performing that devotional service to please you. The performance of the service is much more nectarian than the reception, receiving that service. So, yes. So this is really emphasizing how wonderful is Lord Chaitanya, what's his special position. Then verse 4, this is a glorification. This is a glorification. It's a glorification of goddess Mathura Devi. Glorification, it's an offering of obeisances to Mathura. It means the whole Vraj Mandala. But particularly here, Mathura, the city, is glorified as the birthplace of Lord Krishna. And it's, well, there's an offering of obeisances in a sense, but it's also a kind of indirect blessing that Mathura is acclaimed throughout the world for dispelling misery and bestowing liberation and devotion. Yeah. And what to say of being the place of the Lord's pastimes, what to speak of that. So that's a type of a blessing in the sense that let's go to Mathura and we'll get that mercy. Then verse 5 is glorifying Vrindavan forest itself. Verse 6 is glorifying Yamuna, the sister of Yamaraj, and how she winds her way through Vrajmandala, and getting some dust from the Lord's feet, she becomes more sacred and celebrated even than the Ganges. Then a type of benediction, you could say, but it's also an offering of obeisances, of course. All glories to Krishna Prema Bhakti, all glories to that process, which can take us to the feet of the Lord. Yes. Then number 9 is a real blessing. A real blessing. All glories to Lord Murari, Lord Krishna, in the form of his holy names. And here's the blessing. If anyone puts aside their other activities, even like meditation, ritual worship, their social duties, and even once takes up chanting the holy names, then they are delivered. Just one time, they're delivered. So the holy name is the greatest source of eternal pleasure. And Sanatana Goswami says, my only livelihood and ornament. Then another offering of obeisances, really. I bow down to Sri Krishna Chandra again. And again, saying he in this age he's appeared as Lord Chaitanya. He's really emphasized this in a few of these verses. And then verse 11, what is this book? What is the objective? It's the essence of the scriptures and it's teaching devotional service. Received from Lord Chaitanya. Or from Lord Chaitanya via Rupa Goswami. So, okay, let's go through verse by verse and take a few points out, a few special points. First verse is about Lord Krishna. He came down to this world as himself, as Lord Krishna, with the desire to give love for himself. But then later he came as Lord Chaitanya. And as Lord Chaitanya, he realized the amazing nature of the love of the gopis. So this verse then, this book is explaining about bhakti, about pure devotional service. That's what this book is all about. Pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord. You know, the Lord may give, and sometimes he does give material enjoyment. Sometimes he gives liberation if people just really want those things. But when he gives devotional service, he's giving something much incomparably greater than either material enjoyment or liberation. So this book then is about the Lord and the process of approaching him. And when we talk about the Lord, the book is being very specific that this book is, or the devotion described in this book is to be focused solely on the lotus feet of Krishna, Nanda Nandan, Nandavraja, Lord Krishna, the master of the gopis of Nandavraja. And that devotion ultimately consists of prema, Krishna prema, not Narayan prema, and definitely not Shiva or Brahma or Durga prema, but Krishna prema. Yes. And through this process of devotional service to Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan, if one does it very nicely, then one goes to Goloka. And there one gets the association of Krishna. So this is all going to be described in this book. And there's also the element, not just of Lord Krishna himself, but of Lord Chaitanya, who's a special manifestation of Lord Krishna, who is just so generous. Mahavadanyaya avatar means the most munificent, Prabhupada said, which basically means generous, form of the Lord. This wonderful Lord who is always eager to bestow his blessings upon his devotees. Yes, so this is just introducing really the whole book further. Which we spoke about pretty much yesterday. And of course the point in terms of the first verse is that the first verse is outlining the theme, Krishna, the process for loving him, which was given by Lord Chaitanya. These things are emphasized here. And which of course, that special devotion is possessed and demonstrated and shown mainly by the gopis, who are then discussed in the second verse. And the thing is, a point here is that, of course, as described in regard to verse 1, we have to practice devotional service to come to the level of love of Godhead, which, on the basis of which we can go back to Godhead. But, there's a more subtle point that even if you do that devotional service, you cannot achieve the favor of the Lord to go back to Goloka. You cannot achieve that without the mercy, the blessings of his dearest devotees, of course. And that's the gopis. And amongst the gopis, Sri Radhika is the best. Therefore, amongst all devotees, the gopis should be given special respect, a special place, and be appreciated and honored the most. And one should understand that Krishna always appreciates the gopis. He never becomes tired of the gopis. He never loses interest in the gopis. So if we're under their shelter, under their care, then he may also, seeing us amongst them, may give us his mercy also. So their standard of devotion is the highest, as is cited, as is stated by Lord Krishna in very important verse, 10th canto, chapter 32, verse 22, the translation of which is, I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. That's an amazing verse, very important verse, in which Krishna makes it very clear that the gopis please him so much, they do so much for him and give him so much love and devotion and nectar that he becomes overwhelmed and he feels, I can't reciprocate properly. And therefore, because I can't reciprocate properly, you'll just carry on getting the nectar which is there in my devotional service. That's all. That's all. So, then we come to verse 3, which talks about Lord Krishna, his decision to appear as Lord Chaitanya. We read actually in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Lord says that when he returned to Goloka Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, after his pastimes here, then he was, when he had arrived there, he was remembering his pastimes and everything that happened when he was here on planet Earth. And he was thinking that it was so wonderful. There were so many devotees who served me in such beautiful ways, and I really enjoyed it. I was so happy being served like that. But then Lord Krishna thought for a moment, and he realized that actually, even though I enjoyed being served by them, still I can understand that they got more enjoyment from serving me than I got from being served by them. Even though I got so much pleasure by being served by them, but they got more pleasure by serving me. And Lord Krishna went deep into thought about it and ultimately came to the point of thinking about the gopis, how they pleased him, and how they got more pleasure through serving him than he got from being served by them, even though he got unlimited pleasure from being served by them. So he was thinking, how much more pleasure did they get, really? And he thought of one gopi, she got 1,000 times more pleasure from serving him than he got from being served. 1,000 times. Then another one, 10,000. Another one, 100,000. Another one, 1,000,000 times more. And then Srimati Radharani, 10,000,000 times more pleasure from serving him than he got from being served by her. So, as the verse says, that when the Lord realized that this is the situation, we should pull the curtains actually, yeah. Then the Lord decided, all right, I am going to appear as a devotee. And then he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, because he understood that's where the nectar is. That, you know, being God, it's not really where the nectar is. I want the nectar. The nectar's there in being a devotee. Yeah. So then, let's see. What now? Next verse is verse 4. Glorifying Mathura. Mathura is very dear to the Lord. And he's addressing Mathura as a person, Goddess Mathura. she is the topmost of all holy places. Of course, Mathura includes Vrindavan, actually. Mathura Mandala. Yes, so in that sense, Mathura makes the other holy cities like Kashi, Kanchi, Avantipur, Ayodhya, Haridwar, Dwarka, she makes that they're very insignificant compared to Mathura. Yes. So then, verse 5, and it's more glorification, appreciation. All glories to the Vrindavan forest where Sanatan Goswami is living. He was living particularly where the old Madan Mohan temple is now, just up on the sort of little hillock overlooking where the river used, the Yamuna used to run. Yes, and you know, if Mathura, the city, Mathura is special, well, Vrindavan's more special. And Vrindavan, actually, the forest of Vrindavan is big. It's not just the town, as many, I'm sure so many of us have been there. It's not just the town. It's the whole big area. And there in Vrajmandala, the Yamuna is very special. That's verse 6, that the Yamuna is more special even than Ganga Devi because she has received the dust of the Lord's lotus feet on her head when he takes bath in her waters. So on the context, on the pretext of being a river, she just carries the nectar from the Lord's feet all over and distributes it. And Yamuna, of course, is the sister of Yamaraj. Any of you, if you go to Mathura, and if you go to Vishram Ghat, then it's a little sort of complex. There's a number of little temples and shrines and things, and the Yamuna itself, the bathing ghat. But one of the temples there is the temple of Yamaraj and Yamuna, their brother and sister. So if you serve Yamuna very nicely, and if you serve Krishna nicely and the gopis nicely, and Yamuna, of course, is watching all of this, and if she becomes pleased with you, she will tell her brother Yamaraj, okay, there's this devotee here from somewhere. Just leave him. When he passes away, don't you touch him. We'll take care of him. And she does like that. And then verse 7 is glorifying Govardhan. It said that of all sacred places, Vrindavan is the highest. Then within Vrindavan, Govardhan is the highest. And at Govardhan, Radha Kund is the highest. So Radha Kund, at the lotus feet, or head even, of Govardhan, is the most sacred of all sacred places. Yes, so a Govardhan is even more, he's described in the verse as the emperor of lordly mountains. Those of you who have been to Govardhan Hill would know that at this stage at least, he's not very high. If you've been to the Himalayas, then you know the Himalayas are just totally another dimension of height. Govardhan is not high at all at this point. But still, Govardhan is the emperor of all the greatest mountains, even more so than the Himalayas. So, yes, so Govardhan should be given special respect amongst all mountains. Let me just read a verse here which is quoted from the Bhagavatam. It's 10:21:18. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. O friends, for Krishna and Balaram, along with their cows and cowherd friends, this hill supplies all necessities, caves, fruits, flowers, vegetables, water for drinking, and very soft grass. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. What a beautiful verse. And what a wonderful, wonderful place, Govardhan. Those of you who have been there, and I'm sure many of you have, you know that Govardhan is so special. Just so wonderful. So then it's 8. Verse 8 is glorifying the process of Krishna Bhakti. Krishna Prema Bhakti, actually. Yes. Glorifying Bhakti Devi, who has personified devotional service to the Lord. So, of course, we're not on high levels of pure devotion. We're trying. We're doing something. We're definitely doing something. We have the shelter of Prabhupada. He's given us the process. And I think generally all or most of us, we're doing our best somehow to follow the process properly. So if we continue on like that, then Bhakti Devi, devotional service personified, who Srila Prabhupada elsewhere says is an expansion of Srimati Radharani, Bhakti will definitely give her mercy and will be able to come to the level of real pure devotional service. The verse itself explains how mukti, liberation, is always trying to get mercy from Bhakti Devi. But Bhakti Devi is not interested in liberation. For the devotees, liberation is rejected. Who needs it? Then, verse 9 is glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead again, but this time in the form of his holy names. That's nice, isn't it? Yeah. And the point is made here in this verse 9 that anyone who receives the holy names and who really dives deeply into that ocean of the holy names, for such a person, they'll be freed from everything. They'll lose interest in, you know, some sort of impersonal meditation, some ritualistic, like Karma Kandya, demigod worship, done very precisely, and lose interest in vanashram duties, and, you know, maybe not so much, well, duties, but particularly the identifications. I'm a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, or Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi, just lose interest. Because who needs these things when we've got bhakti? And bhakti is so attractive and beautiful and powerful, particularly in the form of the holy names, that the holy names just arrest the attention of the devotee. They take the attention of the devotee captive like a prisoner. And in that position, the devotee has nothing to do with vana ashram, liberation, impersonal meditation, ritualism, nothing like this. In fact, just one interesting little point about all these verses we're reading. All of them basically begin, I mean, up to this point, I think, actually all of them, oh no, not all of them, but many of them, they begin, jayati, glory, or even jayati, jayati in some cases. Glory, glory, glory. Okay, let's see. The holy names, right. So now verse 10, again, after already doing it two or three times even, Sanatana Goswami bows down to Lord Krishna. And particularly Lord Krishna in terms of how he gives unconditional mercy. Yes. And particularly he shows that when he appears as Lord Chaitanya, as he did not long ago, just, you know, it was Sunday, wasn't it? It was, what's it now? It's 2021. He appeared in 1486. He appeared 1486. So anyway, you figure it out. 530-something years. So, yes, this is a very important point. Mercy. That the Lord does this, he does that. He speaks this, he speaks that. But the main thing about the Lord, the main thing, is his mercy, which is particularly manifest in his form as Lord Chaitanya. That's what this verse number 10 is explaining, that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. He's not another person. He is a form of Krishna. But he's Krishna who's come to give rasa, the nectar, the nectarian mellows of pure devotional service. Yes. So, that's really, in a sense, that's the end of the Mangala Charana, although that was verse 10. Verse 11, of course, is also, you can take it as part of the Mangala Charana because it's defining the objective. If you remember, that's one of the three characteristics of a Mangala Charana. They define the objective of the particular book. So what is this book in those terms? The verse 11 says, this book collects the essence of the scriptures teaching devotional service rendered to the Lord. These essential teachings I've personally realized under the shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I received them from his dear devotee Sri Rupa. This is Sanatan speaking. You know, an interesting point, like I mentioned last night, Sanatana Goswami is the most senior, the oldest, of the six Goswamis, the older brother of Rupa, the uncle of Jiva. So, you know, he's senior in those terms. But Rupa is considered the leader. And his contributions, particularly like Nectar of Devotion and so on, various things he wrote, considered to be, you know, in certain transcendental ways, more special than the writings of Sanatana. But don't underestimate Sanatana. Sanatana is just the most incredible devotee. This Brihad Bhagavatamrita, as we'll see as we go into it more and more, is just completely incredible. And his commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam is just completely incredible. Completely incredible. So, yes. And here he says that I received Lord Chaitanya's teachings from Rupa. And surely he did when they were together in Vrindavan. But if we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we see that at the end of the Madhya Leela, there is one chapter 19, which is the Lord instructing Rupa Goswami. But then there are, there's 20, 21, 22, and I think 23, and maybe 24. So there's at least four, maybe five chapters right at the end of Madhya Leela, which are the Lord instructing Sanatan Goswami. So he was instructed by Lord Chaitanya for a month, Rupa only for about a week or maybe 10 days, but Sanatan was instructed by Lord Chaitanya for 1 month. So here he's being very humble that these teachings I realized under the shelter of Lord Chaitanya, but I received them from his dear devotee, Rupa. This is his humility, definitely. So even though Rupa actually considered Sanatan his spiritual master, in the Mangala Charana of Nectar of Devotion, there's a verse like that. Rupa offers obeisances to Sanatan as a spiritual master. But here Sanatan offers obeisances to Rupa for helping him understand the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This sort of humility is very nice. Very, very nice. So there you go, devotees. That's the Mangala Charana. Creating auspiciousness, invoking auspiciousness for beginning the book, for getting into the book, to help us understand what is the book and what is it about. In this way, helping us to enter into the heart of the book. And we will continue tomorrow night. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.